ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 22 एंटाइटल्ड पृथु महाराज मीटिंग विद द कुमारास टेक्स्ट नंबर 33। Translation: Artha, riches. Indriya Artha, for the satisfaction of the senses. Abhidhyanam, constantly thinking of. Sarva Artha, four kinds of achievements. Abhanavaha, destructive. Nranam, of human society. Bhramshitaha, being devoid of. Jnana, knowledge. Vijnana, devotional service. Yena, by all this. Avishati, enters. Mukhyatam, immovable life. For human society, constantly thinking of how to earn money and apply it for sense gratification brings about the destruction of everyone's interests. When one becomes devoid of knowledge and devotional service, he enters into species of life like those of trees and stones. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jnana or knowledge means to understand one's constitutional position. And vijnana refers to practical application of that knowledge in life. In the human form of life, one should come to the position of jnana and vijnana. But despite this great opportunity, if one does not develop knowledge and practical application of knowledge through the help of a spiritual master and the shastras, in other words, if one misuses the opportunity, then in the next life he is sure to be born in a species of non-movable living entities. Non-moving living entities includes hills, mountains, trees, plants, etc. This stage of life is called Punyatam or Mukhyatam, namely making all activities zero. Philosophers who support stopping all activities are called Shunyavadi. By nature's own way, our activities are to be gradually diverted to devotional service. But there are philosophers who, instead of purifying their activities, try to make everything zero or void of all activities. This lack of activity is represented by the trees and the hills. This is a kind of a punishment inflicted by the laws of nature. If we do not properly execute our mission of life in self-realization, nature's punishment will render us inactive by putting us in the form of trees and hills. Therefore, activities directed towards sense gratification are condemned herein. One who is constantly thinking of activities to earn money and gratify the senses is following a path which is suicidal. Factually, all human society is following this path. Some way or other, people are determined to earn money or get money by begging, borrowing or stealing and applying that for sense gratification. Such a civilization is the greatest obstacle in the path of self-realization. Om Jnanativirantasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhudair Mahadha Yema Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sine Hare Krishna. Here we have a very significant verse presenting a significant theme in Srimad Bhagavatam. When we hear about Krishna Katha, usually we tend to think that Krishna Katha means past tense of Krishna, glories of Krishna, qualities of Krishna, etc. However, it is very important to understand that Krishna Katha also means understanding the nature and workings of material energy. Srila Prabhupada had a very broad understanding of Hari Kirtan. He had a very broad understanding of Kirtan. One time, Srila Prabhupada was in Juhu towards his last days of life. Then there was a lot of construction going on for the Juhu temple. And Srila Prabhupada was living there in his quarters. For a normal person, it is very annoying to hear the construction sound. Then some of the devotees approached Srila Prabhupada and told, "We can do something about this construction noise because it is very inconvenient for you." Srila Prabhupada said, "That is Kirtan. Because each time a construction worker is hammering, whatever, it is to build Krishna's temple, and that sound is like kirtan, because each hit is glorification of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada had a very broad understanding of kirtan. It wasn't just limited to chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Similarly, one time, again in Juhu, Srila Prabhupada was having a discussion with Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, who is a scientist. So they had discussion on scientific preaching. Some of the devotees approached or intervened their conversation and informed Srila Prabhupada that kirtan has just begun in the temple room. Srila Prabhupada responded by saying that these people, these devotees, they do not know what is kirtan. Because kirtan means glorification of Krishna. So making plans how to preach Krishna consciousness, they were already in kirtan. So this is the broad understanding of kirtan. It doesn't mean that we can neglect chanting Hare Krishna or doing kirtan or mantra. We cannot neglect that, but there is a broader aspect to it, and that aspect is very important. Similarly, when we come to Krishna consciousness, primarily, one may have this misconception that Krishna Katha or glorification of Krishna just means hearing about Krishna's personality, Krishna's personality. However, that is not the case. We need to understand the nature and working for the material nature, because we are completely entrapped in the material nature. And here we go. We have a verse which is very succinctly but very powerfully stating the nature of material existence. What's going on in this material world? And how can we get over it? So today's discussion will be divided into two. One is nature of material existence, as it is mentioned in this verse. And also, today is the disappearance of a great personality. So we will discuss about that personality as well in his glorification. So today's class has two aspects to it. So to start with, here it's so amazingly it is mentioned that constantly thinking of...
Ashwindra Maharaj, you wanted to speak about a little bit.
Thank you. Yeah. Constantly thinking of how to earn money and applying that for sense gratification brings about destruction of everyone's interests. You see what's going on in this world, what's going on in many people's personal lives. This verse is exemplified, even epitomized. So that is what's going on. See what's going on in this world. Everything is centered around economic development. Isn't it true? Everything is centered around economic development. If there is no economy, nothing is going to function. So what is the end result as far as we have come about? There is environmental crisis. We haven't spared anything. Ocean is a mess. So much of plastic in the ocean. I was reading the newspaper recently that which is the deepest part of the ocean? Which trench?
Arena
Trench. They found plastic there as well. Can you imagine? They found plastic, a deposit of plastic even in the Marina Trench, the deepest part of the ocean. And there is a huge island made of plastic. Huge island, many kilometers wide. So the ocean we haven't spared. Then the land we haven't spared, because what nutrition the soil has. Even the seeds we haven't spared, all are GMO. It's worth checking whether it's GMO or not when you buy some food. We don't know what are the after effects. Water we haven't spared, right? Fresh water, it's mixed with chemicals. Even the aquatics we haven't spared. It's not just a question of killing the aquatics, But even they are poisoned. People who are consuming aquatics, they are taking poison of different kinds. Then air we haven't spared. The air pollution everywhere. There is competition between Beijing and Delhi, which is the most polluted. In Delhi won, India won. So we haven't spared anything. Everything grounded upon economic progress. Care for the society, it is driven by money. Welfare for the society, it is driven by the economics. Everything is based on economics, and that is material economics. So we are in trouble, and people's just genuine needs, like want some fresh air, want to relax, we can't do that. The work is getting more and more hectic. If you work just 8 hours a day, it's insufficient. There is more pressure. One has to prove oneself at work. And it is just going on and on. So people are not happy. People are completely unsatisfied. There is no proper food. There is no proper peace of mind to sleep. And the whole world is a mess. Why? Because the whole world is centered around making money and using it for sense gratification. And this purpose, in this verse itself, it's mentioned. Let's see the Sanskrit. Artha, arthena indriya artha abhidhyanam. Arthena. Artha means wealth. Arthena means by wealth. Arthena. Indriya artha. What is the purpose of artha? What is the purpose of money? Indriya artha. Indriya means? So indriya artha means for the senses. So it's different artha, it's not the same. Indriya artha means for the senses. So artha is for indriya artha. So money is for sense enjoyment. Then abhidhyanam. Abhidhyanam means constantly meditating. Dhyanam. What's the meaning of dhyanam? Meditation. Abhidhyanam means there is no cessation. Constant meditation on the money and sense gratification. I remember when I was studying, I had a classmate, an Asian boy. We used to doing our master's project together. So he was telling me, he was coming up with a few different ideas about different projects which were centered around making money. He was telling me, I think about making money all the time. He said, when I'm eating, when I'm walking, when I'm going to school, all the time I'm doing one thing, that is thinking about how to make money. So this is abhidhyana. As Srila Prabhupada says, if a businessman, if he sent him to forest, what did he see? Money. Money. First, primarily, in this case, yes, money. Yes, for sense gratification, yes, woman and money. Wherever he looks, sees money. Jagatarni Mother just mentioning a very interesting point. She was doing this class exercise, a group exercise with different devotees about trees. What comes to your mind when you think about trees? So she asked us also in here for Bhagavatam class. So people started thinking about the wood, that so many, the sap, you know, flowers, you know, leaves, oxygen, you know, so many different things. Then he said she had this experience of doing this exercise in some part of China among the devotees. So they were coming up with this amazing things. They were telling, if there are trees, there will be an economy. Many of the things were related to economy. So, you know, according to the consciousness, when we see things, whatever we can relate to, whatever we are in our mind, that comes about. So here, money is the constant thinking theme, always. And what is the end result? Sarva artha abhanaho dranam. Sarva artha means, it is mentioned, sarva artha means all kinds of, four kinds of achievements. In practically sarva artha, artha has a meaning of something which is valuable, something which we can achieve. Sarva artha, then abhanaho. Abhanaho means destructive. Nranam of the living entities or the human beings. This is the reality, the world in which we are living in. So Bhagavad Gita says, if we understand this one point, life becomes easy. There is a secret. There is a secret which is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita and elaborated in Srimad Bhagavatam. If we understand this point, a devotee's life become peaceful and less complicated. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukhayone eshate adyantavanda kauteya na teshu ramate buddha. So I will just make a simple point of this. Material happiness, material sense gratification equal to suffering. That's all. If you can understand this point and if you can realize, then progress in bhakti is smooth. Sense gratification equal to suffering. Material happiness equal to misery, suffering. This is the equation. It is a difficult equation to understand. It's a bitter pill to swallow. But if we are encountering with material desires, use this formula. In front of our material desires, say that if we fulfill this, this is going to give me misery. Even though it looks like immediately it's going to give me some happiness, material happiness for a short period, but there is a package which is attached to it. A devotee's intelligence must be trained to see this world according to this equation. If we don't understand this equation, we are going to suffer. If there is nothing can be done. As Kunti Devi says, Janmai Shriya Shruta Shri Yatamana Madapuman Naivaharti Abhidatum Vaitvam Akinchana Gochara. There are four problems. Or in other words, one can see these are also four robbers. We are driving and going with a lot of wealth because we are accumulating wealth. Slowly, assume working hard a job, earning some money, putting in our savings account, and moving on month after month, year after year, and someone comes and empties it. What will happen? We feel devastated. All those hard work, it's all gone. Similarly, in bhakti, also there are robbers. Some of these robbers are janma, aristocratic birth, aishwarya, wealth, shruta, great education, shri, beauty. When one gets puffed up by any of them, one's devotional progress slackens, reduces, and can even become null. Of which, what is the most dangerous? Do you know what's the most dangerous? Any guess? Yeah, that is different thing. In here, which is the most difficult? Wealth. Because wealth can bring everything else. All of the bad qualities one can get from wealth. If you have wealth, one may not be highly educated. Shruta is not there. But you can employ 10 PhDs or 100. No problem. Then, janma. You may not be from a very aristocratic family, but now you are already in an aristocratic family. Everyone wants to connect to you. And you can get alliance from aristocratic families. Okay? So, janma, aishwarya. From aishwarya, janma also not a problem. Shruta also not a problem. Shri, beauty. Yeah, one may not be able to change the beauty, whatever one has. But at least you can get beautiful people. A wealthy person wants to get married, get a beautiful person, not a problem. Either ways, beautiful or handsome, you can get, you can choose. Because wealth has the potency and one can get completely bewildered by that wealth. Then pratishta will go up, no problem. Everything is taken care of. That's why wealth is considered a problem if it is not used in Krishna service. It's not a devotee, it's a problem. Even for devotees, wealth can be a problem. If one doesn't know how to deal with the wealth, it can be a problem. That's why devotees can get into the greed principle and work on and on and not giving sufficient time for one's sadhana and service. So it's a danger for even a practicing devotee. What to speak about one who wants to take up Krishna consciousness. So one can easily get slackened in the presence of wealth, one's Krishna consciousness. And that is destructive. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaji mentions, if one realizes that there is nothing to enjoy in this material world, this one realization, think about this one realization. There is nothing to enjoy in this material world and there is no material enjoyment in this world. We cannot really enjoy in this world. If one gets that realization, then one has made the greatest step towards bhakti. Greatest step. Because there is nothing to worry about this place. Now move forward. One time, I heard in one lecture that two devotees were getting married and a sannyasi was asked to give blessings. It's a interesting circumstance. Give blessings. One way of giving blessings is, you know, okay, like that. But, so he asked, you know, give a blessing. So the sannyasi, he approached a very senior grihastha and asked, what kind of blessing that can I give to this newly wedded couple? Important, right? Important to know. So the advice that he gave was, try to enjoy as much as possible in this world where there is no enjoyment. Try to enjoy as much as possible in this world where there is no enjoyment. If you understand this principle, then life becomes peaceful. Whatever we think materially that would give us happiness, it may have given us a little bit of happiness for sure, but it must have given a lot of pain. Everyone can reflect on one's own self. Just please, you know, take a few seconds and reflect on yourself. It could be anything. It could be work, it could be marriage, it could be any other kind of relationship, it could be money, it could be anything, it could be house. Whatever we plan, that is going to give us misery. I remember one time I went to my cousin's place. It was a beautiful house, very well constructed, double story, big house, using vastu architecture, this, that. Then there's a couple and with a kid. They were telling, look, I said, I can see a beautiful balcony and it is very ornate balcony, very looking very good. So I asked them, just a second floor, of course. I asked them, do you go there because it's always shut? He said, yeah, when we constructed the house, when we were making plans, we were thinking that we both will go there, sit and chat and, you know, like that. We had a plan for the balcony. They said, we didn't even one time go and sit there. Rather, we had trouble with this balcony. Rather, their son, he went there and he was hanging down like that. Then they ran, came, pulled him out, very naughty boy, and shut the balcony forever. This is life, you know. We plan and the same plan is going to give us misery. If you understand this, life is very simpler. Another time, another boy, he was telling his story, his personal experience. This boy, he had this desire that he was a little bit towards Krishna consciousness, not a full-fledged devotee. He has this desire, I want an expensive car. Expensive car. You know, it was expensive, so he had spent a lot of money. He just recently got married. He was living somewhere, not in Melbourne, and got this very expensive car, BMW. So, took a loan, obviously. He didn't have, money to pay up front. Got the loan, got the car, and then he got it from the showroom. Now it is right in front of his place. Then he realized, I am parking my car in front of my apartment on the street. Is it good? No. Expensive car, anyone can come and scratch, it will pain, give me more pain. Then what can I do? He said, realize I need a house with a big garage. Natural. So then he got another loan. He got a big house with a big garage where now he is parking his new BMW. Excellent. Then he realized, my financial situation is not very good. So he had to send his wife elsewhere in another city to work with a very lucrative job. So husband here, newly wedded, husband here, wife there, both are working very hard. Money is coming, they are paying off everything. Then they have just married and relationship has not yet built. So marital problems started. Clashes started in the family life. Now, in complete pain, BMW is parked there, nobody is using. Because work, he cannot go. He has to go in helicopter to mines to work. You understand? So he cannot use a car. Helicopter is required. Chopper is required. So car nobody is using. Very expensive garage is there. Home is there. But not even a dog is there. Many people at least dog is there. That is also not there. Husband is also not there. Wife is also not. Both are on site. Then he started thinking, what's happening to life? Then calling devotees, asking, you know, what to do now? So this is life, you understand? So from material desires, we try to fulfill, assuming it's going to bring us happiness. It is not going to bring us happiness. In fact, Prahlada Maharaj makes a very interesting point. Sukhaya dukkha mokshaya sankalpa iha karminaha. Karmina, karmi, this word karmi we use, right? It's coming from Bhagavatam. Karmina, Prahlada Maharaj is using. This karmis means materialistic workers, those who are not devotees. Karminaha, these karmis, what do they do? Two things they want. What is that? Sukhaya. What is that? Happiness. They want happiness. And dukkha mokshaya. What is that? Freedom from suffering. So the whole life is centered around two principles. Want material happiness and get rid of material suffering. Sukhaya, dukkha mokshaya. So that moksha doesn't mean that moksha, going, getting liberated from material, but dukkha moksha, no misery. So sukhaya, dukkha mokshaya, sankalpa iha karmana. Sankalpa means great determination. Then Prahlada Maharaj says, sa sada apnoti ihaya dukham. Sada apnoti ihaya dukham. But by this what they get? Ihaya, sada. Sada means always. Apnoti, one gets. Ihaya, by this determination, dukham. So if we are planning for happiness, material happiness, what is it going to bring us? Dukham. Essential point, we have to understand. So the moment we start making plans, we are actually sowing the seed for suffering. The moment we are planning our material happiness, that time we are sowing the seeds of suffering. You cannot avoid other things. It's just like if you are making a coin with one side, it means automatically it has the other side. Similarly, if you are planning material enjoyment, automatically the suffering is started. So then Prahlada Maharaj says, anihaya dukkha sukhavrataha. If one doesn't endeavor for material happiness, then one will get material happiness at least. One is not endeavoring, whatever has to come, it will come. If you understand this principle, the world, our lives, everything will be much better. Such an important thing. And Prahlada Maharaj gets into this in much details. Right? Yan maithunadis grhamedi sukham hitucham kandu yanena karyoriva dukha dukham trupyanti neha bahudukha bhaja kandu divan manasijam vishaheda dhiraha. He says, even attraction to the opposite sex, that is everything is leading to that. Most of the time, everything is leading to that. Even our thoughts goes, okay, one thought behind. If you go deeper, then everything will end up in attraction to the opposite sex. Because that is the prime, that is maithuna. It is a maithuna aghara. This is a, we are shackled by sex attraction. We are shackled by that. So it mentions, yan maithunadi grihameti sukham hi tucham. If one is entering, not grihastha ashram, materialistic household life, then sukham hi tucham. What is this, you know? Tucham, you know the meaning of tucham, right? Insignificant. All that, starting from maithunadi, whatever enjoyment you are thinking, that is insignificant. And gives a most striking example. What is that? Itching example. Itching. If you are itching, if the body is itching, leg is itching, it is so nice to itch. Is it right? You have a special flavor in itching. You get a special enjoyment in itching. Yes or no? It's itching. Very good. You know, I have this, you know, itchy sensation. Itch. Oh, so good. Itching is so good. That can't do yanena karyoriva. But what happens? After some time, what happens? You see the skin has now turned a bit reddish. And after that, it becomes a bruise. And if you again continue, it bleeds. Can't do yanena karyoriva. Dukkha dukkham. Misery after misery. So, message of
Prabhupada Maharaj is toe pitching. The entire solution is toe pitching first. Previous verse, this verse, same principle, toe pitching. If we are confronting with material enjoyment, don't grab it. Don't plan it, don't grab it. Then we can enjoy it. Materially also. Kanduyanena karyoriva dukha dukham trippyanti neha na iha. Trippyanti means there is no question of satisfaction. What else you get? Bahudukha bhaja. Not one dukha. Bhaja. The bhaja means one is covered completely. Dukha bhaja means one is surrounded, encircled, captured by dukkhas. Not one. Bahudukha bhaja. Unlimited suffering. Then what to do? Solution. Kantu divan. Manasijam. This itching sensation is coming from the mind. It's from the mind. So, manasijam. Vishaheta. Vishaheta means tolerate. Dhiraha, one who is sober. So, this is the solution. So, if you want the solution for the all problems of the whole world, here is the solution. This verse, first two lines, is giving the solution. Don't do it. Recently, I remember two sannyasis visited us and we had an opportunity to talk to them personally. One was Subhag Maharaj and another was Navayogendra Maharaj. Oh, both are very elevated, very senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And both of them made this very important point, personally telling. Please don't indulge in sense gratification. He was telling all of us, especially Brahmachari, coming to us and telling, don't, even to the level of the mind, don't indulge in sense gratification. Then you can make progress in Krishna consciousness. So this is they were telling in a very, what can I say, like a father, with a fatherly affection, how to make progress in Krishna consciousness. So that is what is mentioned in this verse. So then as a result, if one doesn't follow, then it is mentioned what are the consequences. Here the whole purport is giving about that. One can enter into species of life which are immovable, giving the example of trees, stones, basically hills, etc. That is, they cannot move. According to the Vedic understanding, even the mountains have life. So mountains can grow. Mountains could fly actually. According to the Vedic literature, mountains could fly, but mountains are creating trouble. So, at one point, Indra actually cut their wings. So, Indra is considered as the enemy of the mountains. Enemy of the mountains. So, that is another reason he wanted even to chastise, Govardhan. He wanted to put all the thunderbolt, striking, lightning, everything to the Govardhan. But Govardhan didn't feel any pain. Sapreshta hastambuja saukumariya sughani bhute radhibhumi prate Mahendra vajram adhimapyajanan govardhano me dishatam abhishtam. It's a prayer by Rupa Goswami. He says, the Mahendra vajram, the Indra was all the thunderbolt striking on Govardhan hill, but Govardhan didn't know anything. Why? Sapreshta hastambuja saukumariya, because Govardhan was completely enjoying the touch, the sweet touch of Krishna's hands. That finger, just one, the left hand, the pinky finger, was just touching Govardhan. So, Sapreshta Hastambuja Saukumariya, Sukhani Bhute Adhibhumi Vrte. He was completely enjoying, Govardhan was completely enjoying the touch of Krishna. So, what happened? He didn't, Mahendra Vajram, Api Abhichanan, he didn't know. He couldn't know what's going on. Govardhan Ome Vishadam Abhishtam. Let that Govardhan kindly fulfill my desires. That is Govardhan. So here, one could enter into such kind of life. And that's why it is mentioned that Shunyavadis, the voidists, are also aiming for that. They want to become stone. Prabhupada, in one of the morning conversations, one devotee was asking, this voidist are telling, we have to stop all the desires. Then Prabhupada says, then you become a stone. Because stone means no desires. But we are not stone, so we will have desires. We cannot have material desires, but we can have spiritual desires. This is the reality. So one has to be very careful about sense gratification. One shouldn't play with the fire. Now, today, is an important day. It's the disappearance of Jayananda Prabhu, one of the foremost disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada requested all the devotees to celebrate this day, just like we celebrate the appearance or disappearance day of Vaishnava Acharyas in our disciplic succession. So that's why we have Jayananda Prabhu's photo right in front of the Rath cart in America, placed in front of Srila Prabhupada. So it's very important to reflect on the life of Jayananda Prabhu, who exemplified the life of a great Acharya. He did exactly opposite that is mentioned in this verse. He never engaged in sense gratification. He was one of the devotees, one of the initial devotees to join Srila Prabhupada and who had material qualification. So Jayananda Prabhu, he had a mechanical engineering degree from Ohio State University in America before meeting Srila Prabhupada. However, he never worked as an engineer or never tried for that. He just worked as a cab driver. And then later devotees asked, why didn't you work as an engineer or why didn't you even try for that? He said, I never fitted into upper class of the society. So I didn't want to work in an office going job. So he wanted to be in touch with the common man. And he was completely frustrated about the life. And then he got a magazine about Krishna consciousness, and then he decided to join Krishna consciousness. He mentions himself, he was not such a religious person, but when he heard from Srila Prabhupada, that touched him. And then that touch inspired him to dedicate his entire life in Krishna service, in the service of Srila Prabhupada. He is a very good example of, you know, kayena vacha manasendriyarva, that is engaging everything in Krishna's service. One's body, mind and words and whatever possessions one may have, he engaged everything in Krishna's service. So when it was time to publish Bhagavad Gita as it is, he donated $5,000 to Srila Prabhupada. That was his life earning. So he gave completely, he didn't hold on, you know, little bit for me, little bit for Prabhupada. He gave everything for Srila Prabhupada, and his attraction for Krishna consciousness was very, very unique. He had such a great appreciation for prasadam that if a drop of prasadam falls on the ground, he would just immediately go pick that and eat. He had such a great appreciation for prasadam, and if his one of the main technique of preaching was prasadam distribution. He's mentioned Jambavan Prabhu, when he was becoming a devotee, first Jayananda Prabhu, he gave a big plate of prasadam. So he ate the full plate of prasadam. Then he finished completely, took some time to complete that full plate of prasadam. When he finished that, Jayananda Prabhu, he brought another equally sized plate of prasadam and put it in front of him. And Jambavan Prabhu told, you know, how can I eat this? I'm already full. I already struggled. He said, no, you have to eat this plate of prasadam also. Because Srila Prabhupada has told that if someone joins Krishna consciousness, he must eat so much of prasadam that he would waddle like a duck. Waddle like a duck. You know, a duck, you know, walking like that. Similarly, initially when you come to Krishna consciousness, eat as much as prasadam so that one cannot walk. That much prasadam one should take. Then Jambavan Prabhu, he finished that plate of prasadam also. It took a long time, but he finished that also. So this was the way he was preaching Krishna consciousness. He used to feed everyone to the degree that sometimes he would tell devotees, you know, night 10 o'clock, he will come with a plate of peanut butter halwa. It's a very good halwa, peanut butter halwa. He would bring a plate of peanut butter halwa and tell, hey Prabhu, check it out. Try this now. Devotees will wonder, you know, now in the night 10 o'clock, peanut butter halwa. He said, no, check it out. Then devotees will take peanut butter halwa. So he was very enthusiastic in cooking lot quantities of prasadam of all different kinds and distributing them to everyone, devotees and non-devotees. So that was one of his speciality. And he had a special attraction for chanting in the street for Harinam. Jayananda Prabhu had such a special taste for chanting in Harinam, and he would go hours and hours together to chant. And he would engage a lot of devotees, and he would engage non-devotees in chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And he was so enthusiastic that one day devotees worked so hard for 10 or 12 hours. And it was evening, so they started the service early in the morning. It was hard work, they went on till the evening, and it was almost 7 o'clock. So at 7 o'clock, what happens? Gaurarati. He said, let's go for Gaurarati. That was the last thing anyone would think. They all wanted to just relax and just take rest. He said, let's go for Gaurarati. He immediately jumped, he went to the shower, took bath, and he went on for the Gaurarati, singing Gaurarati. So this was the enthusiasm of Jayananda Prabhu, and he was the last one to sleep and first one to get up early in the morning. Last one to sleep and get first one to get up. It's mentioned one time, one devotee and Jayananda Prabhu, they were going around to find a spot to sleep, and in the whole temple they couldn't find a sleep place. Then finally in the attic they found a bit of space, and this devotee threw his sleeping bag and he just lied down straight away. And there was not even enough space for Jayananda Prabhu. So Jayananda Prabhu, he was not rushing to sleep. So this devotee asked Jayananda Prabhu, are you not sleeping? So he said, you know, I'll sleep later, no problem. Then this devotee was wondering what's really going on. So he pushed, poking him, what's happening? Then he said, I have a few more rounds to chant. He was so busy all day, so he couldn't complete the rounds. And everyone is just dead tired. But still, now he said, I'll finish my rounds and then I'll sleep. So that was the determination of Jayananda Prabhu. It was not that he was just doing service, and there was not enough time to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And he was addicted to preaching. Anyone who sees him, they will get preached by Jayananda Prabhu. And his preaching was very, very simple. He will tell, please keep chanting, have faith in the holy name, and we have to take prasadam, and Prabhupada is very merciful. He will help us. That's all. He would say, keep chanting, have faith in the holy name, take only prasadam, and Prabhupada is so merciful, he has given everything and he will help us. This was his preaching. One day, devotees were seeing that someone was speaking and two hippies were working, doing some service, and they were getting preached. They couldn't see who was preaching. They could only see two legs. Because Jayananda Prabhu was repairing a van and his body was under the van, and if these two legs were there, while working he was preaching and the two hippies were standing outside. They were not under the van, of course, they were standing outside. And they were getting preached by Jayananda Prabhu. That way he was preaching Krishna consciousness. So that was the enthusiasm and dedication of Jayananda Prabhu. So he never backed off from any service. At the same time, Jayananda Prabhu epitomized Vaishnava humility. If you want to get rid of Jayananda Prabhu, you had to do only one thing. Just glorify him. Can you imagine? Usually if someone glorifies us, we want to hear our glories. And if somebody is not appreciating us, we complain. I am not getting enough appreciation. Whereas Jayananda Prabhu, if someone glorifies him, he would leave the place straight away. He never took any glorification. Never ever. And even though he was the most senior devotee, he could be the temple president, he could be a sannyasi, he was qualified. He never accepted any of those positions. Even when he was traveling with the Radha Damodar bus party, traveling Sankirtan party, he never accepted any position or any extra comfort compared to other devotees. So when some devotees would offer anything extra or tell anything, Jayananda Prabhu was telling, oh, they are showing me respect because I am here for such a long period in time. That's all. If you stick, he was advising everyone, if you stick around, people will respect you. You don't need to have any qualifications. So this was the consciousness of Jayananda Prabhu. And if anyone speaks to Jayananda Prabhu, immediately those devotees will feel that I am superior to Jayananda Prabhu, because he accepted such a humble position even in normal conversations, and he was feeling himself unworthy, and he would be there fixing the car, unplugging the toilet, washing the dishes, throwing the trash, all this menial services Jayananda Prabhu used to do, even though he was the most senior. And one time, one boy living in the neighborhood of the temple, he used to see a person emptying the garbage. So he used to see, that was Jayananda Prabhu. He used to empty the garbage. And he used to see that for months together. And he actually saw that for even few years. Then he approached Jayananda Prabhu and asked, "Who are you?" Then this person, then Jayananda Prabhu said, "You know, I'm just a garbage collector." That's what he told. And this person, he thought, even just a garbage man in this temple is so blissful and happy. What would be the condition of other devotees, other people? And he became a devotee. So he was actually, but just by his action, he was preaching. It's mentioned, I think that briefly, I think Jayananda Prabhu was actually taking care of the temple, or he was the temple president, I think, for a brief time. So that was the time this boy asked. He didn't tell that I am the temple president, or I am a senior devotee, I am taking care of everything. He said, I am just a garbage man. And then this boy helped. He just wanted to help them. So this was the consciousness of Jayananda Prabhu. And he was so expert in engaging anyone and everyone. All the people, even current sannyasis, many of them got first engaged by Jayananda Prabhu, including Jayapataka Maharaj. Jayapataka Maharaj was there, they were building the rath cart. Then first Jayananda Prabhu told, "Do you know how to hammer? Just hammer a nail." So Maharaj said, "Yes, I know." So he took the nail, you know, started hammering the rath cart. So he said, "Oh, you are hammering so nicely. So you can do more. You know how to hammer very nice. So you can do more service." In that way, he used to encourage and engage them hours together. It is mentioned that hippies who would come for, you know, 1 or 2 minutes, 5 minutes, hang around with the devotees, he would engage them for 8 to 10 hours. That was the expertise of Jayananda Prabhu. 8 to 10 hours. So this is very, very special of Jayananda Prabhu. That is a service attitude. And no matter how hard he worked, whole day or night, whatever, he would never take a day nap. He will never sleep during the day. He seemed to be inexhaustible. That was Jayananda Prabhu. And another great quality Jayananda Prabhu had was, he was completely free from fault finding. Rupa Goswami mentioned in the nectar of instruction, the quality of an advanced devotee, Nindadi Shunya Hrida Ipsita Sankhalabdhya. Nindadi Shunya. There is no even trace of fault finding. So that's the quality of a great devotee. Nindadi Shunya Hrida Ipsita Sankhalabdhya. Such a devotee we should serve. So Jayananda Prabhu was like that. He never found fault in everyone. Even though if there were obvious faults, he just encouraged them and encouraged them to serve Krishna, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and partake in prasadam. That's why temple leaders, they would give all the new devotees to Jayananda Prabhu. Because he used to take care of them, he used to encourage them in service, and never put them off. Never let them down. So all the new devotees were with Jayananda Prabhu, and they were nicely engaged in Krishna service. That way he was very, very dear to everyone. This is the qualification. If you don't have the quality of fault finding, one naturally becomes dear to all, and such a devotee wants to serve everyone. So Jayananda Prabhu could be compared to the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan. Dhira Adhira Janapriyo Priyakaro Nirmarsaro Pujito. Dhira Adhira. He was popular both amongst the gentle and the ruffians. That was the position of Jayananda Prabhu. So he was very good with new boys who are coming to Krishna consciousness. He was very good with established devotees. He was good with hippies. He was good with the city council. He was good with the intelligentsia. He was good with everyone in the society. That is Dhira, Adhira, Jana, Priyo. It was mentioned that a drunkard who was living in San Francisco, he was completely a drunk and in one sense a bit notorious. He told the devotees that, "Where is my old friend Jayananda?" This drunkard person who was pretty wild to some degree. He is asking the devotees, "Hey, where is my old friend Jayananda?" So he was even friendly to such kind of people because of his Vaishnava qualities. One time, devotees were going for selling incense, and one of the person, they asked, "Where is Joni Ananda?" "Where is Joni Ananda?" Because they couldn't tell the name. "Where is Joni Ananda for Jayananda?" He said, "Yeah, I'm okay to join you guys because I know that Joni Ananda is into it, so your philosophy must be alright." So that's how people had such a faith in Jayananda Prabhu. And also he was funny. One time, Jambavanaru was sleeping and he woke him up in the night and he asked, "You wake up. So he woke up and he asked, "Open your mouth." And he made him open the mouth and put a samosa in his mouth. So he was a bit funny, humorous and hilarious too. So Jayananda Prabhu had such a funny relation with the devotees. So he used to serve devotees. It was not at the cost of anyone, joking, cost of anyone, but he used to serve devotees. And he was so expert in engaging everyone in devotional service. One time, two drunkard people came. So when two drunkard people came, Jayananda Prabhu said, "Let me give them an opportunity to serve Krishna." So this was the mood of Jayananda Prabhu. He said, "Let me give an opportunity to serve Krishna." And then Jayananda Prabhu told them, "You come and you know, help us." And these two drunkards, they came and they helped Jayananda Prabhu in service. So he could engage anyone in Krishna's service. At the same time, he was very frugal. He was a transcendental miser. He didn't want to spend money for anything practically. He didn't want to spend Krishna's money. So he had the policy. What is the policy? One, he has to get everything done either for free or with a large discount. He would get these two. Otherwise, he will not work. Either it has to be free or it has to be highly discounted. Then he would get something. Otherwise, he wouldn't. One time, about 100 devotees came to this temple. About 100 devotees. So they wanted a lot of bhoga. Because now all the devotees have to eat. And naturally that time there was no affluence like that we have now. Now we have prasadam all the time. Hundreds of people, no problem. Ample of prasadam. Right, with all different kinds. That time devotees didn't have any money. So Jayananda Prabhu, he went to the market. And he started speaking to different market people. 4 truckloads of fruits came. 4 truckloads of fruits came to the temple. And then engaged all the devotees to unload. And there was a big feast of some milk products, fruits and cream. That was the feast. And it was mentioned, Jayananda Prabhu encouraged everyone to eat as much as possible. So there was nothing. But by Jayananda Prabhu's arrangement, so much of prasadam for everyone. So this was the mood of Jayananda Prabhu. And when he goes to buy something, he would get as much discount as possible. As for personally for himself, he would wear only old torn dhotis. And if he want work clothes, he would go to Salvation Army and he would buy some old clothes. And that he had to, per set, he would spend only $1. Can you imagine? Just $1 for the whole cloth. That's all he will spend. So he never misused Krishna's money. So this was the mood of Jayananda Prabhu. Now, we have to speak about his glories in terms of, he's the king of Rathyatras. So
we have to tell about Jayananda Prabhu, we must speak about chariot festivals. How he organized chariot festivals. It is amazing that he was involved in the all aspects of making a chariot, getting the permissions to go to the street, chanting, distributing prasadam, making devotees, everything, in all aspects of Rathyatra, Jayananda Prabhu was involved. And he made such a harmonious relationship with the city council people. So they would give permission every year. In New York, Fifth Avenue, it's like our Swanson Street, the most important street, Fifth Avenue. And till day, Fifth Avenue is open for Rathyatra festival. That is, the whole entire traffic is shut. And the whole Fifth Avenue is for Rathyatra festival every year, till the date. Can you imagine? Such a connection he made with the city council. It was mentioned that after Jayananda Prabhu left this world, a couple of devotees approached the city council, and there was an in charge in the city council who was a fierce looking lady, very strict, stern, fierce looking lady who was the official. And then they asked, where is Jayananda who used to organize these festivals? So the devotees told that Jayananda Prabhu had already left the world. Then this lady started crying. So he made such an impact, even to the official who had nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. So that is, he could touch even their hearts. So that was Jayananda Prabhu. And even during, he was making the Rath cart with the help of other devotees, he would have slept for 3 hours or 4 hours. He would get up at 4 o'clock at the site where the Rath cart was made. He will do Mangalarati, and he will do some Saradava, everything, chant his rounds, cook something, eat. And he would cook fantastic prasadam. Because he would get all these people, hippies, devotees, non-devotees, get anyone, engage all them in Krishna service, and he would cook such fantastic feast and feed everyone. It was mentioned, even devotees who were living in the temple, they would sneak out from the temple to get some prasadam from Jayananda Prabhu at the site. It was such high quality prasadam. So Jayananda Prabhu was transcendently frugal, but when it comes to prasadam, he was very liberal. He would give the best prasadam for all the devotees. That was the heart of... And he himself would consume a large quantity of prasadam. So that was Jayananda Prabhu. He himself nicely, sumptuously ate prasadam and fed everyone. He was not just that kind of an austere person, but he appreciated prasadam so much. And one time it was mentioned that night before the festival, about 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, Balaram's dome and a huge canopy and a part of the whole Rath cart fell apart because of wind. And then it was going to be a disaster, because next day is the festival and the Rath cart is collapsed. Jayananda Prabhu, he got some professional help, some devotees had some professional knowledge. He took help from them. All of them worked the entire night, and by the morning they fixed the Rath cart and the procession started. So that was the determination of Jayananda Prabhu. And it was mentioned, till the last date, till the last dying day, Jayananda Prabhu was absorbed in organizing the Rathyatra festival. We'll discuss that briefly after finishing some more. And his relationship with Srila Prabhupada, because such an advanced devotee, what was his relationship with Jayananda Prabhu? I'll tell you a story where some of the devotees mentioned here, one of the other disciples of Prabhupada, I think Shruta Kirti Prabhu, he was mentioning, sometime when Jayananda Prabhu would come to the class, because he will not come for class because working hard so much, when he would come in presence of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada says, yeah, Mahaprabhu was like him. He would say Mahaprabhu was like him, because Jayananda Prabhu was strong, stout and tall and blissful. So he was saying, yeah, Mahaprabhu was like him. And Jayananda Prabhu, he would actually feel so humbled in front of all the devotees that, you know, he wouldn't speak anything. He will feel completely ashamed in front of the devotees. And he never wanted personal darshan of Srila Prabhupada.
generally all the leading devotees and non-leading devotees, everyone wants the personal association of Prabhupada, wanted a meeting with Prabhupada. But Jayananda Prabhu never wanted any meeting with Srila Prabhupada. He didn't want to be in the presence of Srila Prabhupada. He would say, I am so unworthy that I shouldn't be in the presence of Srila Prabhupada. That was the humility of Jayananda Prabhu. Such an amazing soul, such an amazing humility. And one devotee asked Jayananda Prabhu, how does one make advancement in Krishna consciousness? And Jayananda Prabhu replied that, I don't know, I am too busy working to think about it. That actually tells the answer. I am too busy working. So I am too busy engaging Krishna service, because there is no time to think about how am I making Krishna develop, you know, advancement in Krishna consciousness. So that in itself is an answer. Absorption in service to Krishna. And even till the last day, Prabhupada remembered that he gave all his life earning, that is $5,000, to me to print Bhagavad Gita as it is. And Jayananda Prabhu was fearless. So that is the quality of a devotee, is fearless. Prabhupada's name is Abhay Charanaravinda. Abhay means no bhai, there is no fear. Similarly, Jayananda Prabhu had no fear. It was mentioned that when they were doing Harinam, one drunkard person coming with red eyes to attack the chanting party. He came right in front of Jayananda Prabhu. All the devotees moved apart. And Jayananda Prabhu looked at him and told, just chant Hare Krishna, just chant Hare Krishna. He repeatedly said, just chant Hare Krishna. This person, he calmed down, he left. So this was, he was a fearless preacher. And I'll read, he was so fearless even in the mouth of death. He was affected by leukemia, blood cancer, but he was fearless. I will write this letter he wrote. I was out of the hospital for a month going to the clinic, and now I am back for a couple of weeks of intense treatment. Actually, the whole thing was a real blessing, as it made me realize that death is right at hand. Somehow, I need these potent reminders to help me advance in Krishna consciousness. For the time I was in the temple, I was appreciating Krishna consciousness so much more than ever before. So, it's been a real blessing. So, he saw this disease and death as a blessing. It's mentioned that time, and Jayananda Prabhu didn't want Prabhupada to know about his disease, because he understood that Prabhupada would be very much disappointed and would feel so much of misery, so much of agony, just to hear about the health condition of Jayananda Prabhu. So Jayananda Prabhu didn't want anyone to tell Prabhupada about his disease. So even in LA, he was in his last stage of life. He was in LA, and that time they were organizing the Rath Yatra festival. And Jayananda Prabhu was on his deathbed. He was making phone calls to raise funds for the Rath Yatra festival. He collected about a large portion of the funds for the Rath Yatra festival was collected by Jayananda Prabhu on his deathbed. So this was the consciousness of Jayananda Prabhu. And before that Rath Yatra, Jayananda Prabhu left the world. So this is an amazing pastime of Jayananda Prabhu. And Prabhu has said, after the disappearance of Jayananda Prabhu, Srila Prabhu has said that everyone must learn from the life of Jayananda Prabhu how to serve Krishna, how to be a devotee. We had to learn from Jayananda Prabhu. And he said, just like we celebrate the appearance and disappearance of Vaishnava Acharyas, all great teachers, we must celebrate the appearance and disappearance of Jayananda Prabhu. So that's why we have a special offering, we can see, for Jayananda Prabhu. And we are dedicating our class in glorification of Jayananda Prabhu. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yeah.
Prabhu, thank you for the nice class. There's a principle in Ishopanishad, the word Isha Vasya Vimamsa. Can you explain that? Can we use that in this context, if you don't want to engage too much in material enjoyment.
Yes, Ishavasyam verse. First point is Krishna is the proprietor, Krishna is the controller of everything, all forms of material energy. After understanding that, what we had to do? Tena, tektena, bhunjita, magrida, kasya, siddhanam. So, the principle is, one need to know what is our quota. To understand what is quota, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a cow. Cow eats grass and produces milk and ready to give to one's own calves and others. Similarly, in our practical life, we need to know what are our needs. Because if we live in this world, we have our needs. We need material energy to look after ourselves in terms of money, in terms of clothing, etc. We need. So we need to know what we actually need. That's where the problem is. Initially, we may have struggle, but we can take the guidance from the devotees, those who are experienced. Not to just plan. Okay, I need the most expensive car because I can drive around devotees and then work for 20 years, for 10 years, whatever. I need the biggest house in the suburb because I'm going to hold programs. That's an excuse. Then what happens? One has to pay off probably the whole lifetime. So one needs to be intelligent. How much to accumulate in this world. So that one needs to know what's one's quota. But without much work, if all millions of dollars are coming, without affecting one's sadhana, etc., then one can accept millions or billions or trillions of dollars. No problem. The Prabhupada writes, so if wealth is coming and if a devotee is using that wealth completely in Krishna's service, then one shouldn't see that as one's karma. One should see that as Krishna's gift. Whereas if wealth is coming and one is deviating from Krishna consciousness, then one should see that wealth as maya. That is the principle. So it is very simple to understand. So it is well connected. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhupada, please pass the mic.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class. I was just trying to understand that in this last line of this translation, right, you mentioned that he enters into species of life, like those of trees and stones. So you mentioned that in various literature it's been described. I don't know if it's related to this, but I've also heard that in spiritual world it says that everybody is personal. So I wanted to understand the meaning of this word person, because now as we understand what a person means, that okay, there's flesh and body, flesh and bones. Over that you have a subtle body of mind, intelligence, bones. Even there's a desire to do something, a big endeavor. So in that way, I just wanted to understand like who is considered as a person, like that word.
Okay. Person means personality. Personality means identity. In the spiritual world, everyone is a person means everyone has spiritual identity. The trees, the plants, the aquatics, the water, the stone, everyone is conscious and everyone is trying to reciprocate with Krishna and to serve Krishna. So this is spiritual world. For example, we can read in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, as Krishna is walking through the forest, Krishna and Balaram with the cowherd boys, the trees are paying obeisances. They are offering their shades to Krishna. So Krishna is telling Balaram, see the glories of the trees. They are offering obeisances unto you, my dear brother. So everyone wants to serve Krishna. So that's why the trees in spiritual world are called Kalpavriksha, Chintamani Prakara. So why? Because they are desire fulfilling. And Chintamani and desire fulfilling stones. So they are conscious. So that is spiritual world. So they have identity. Stone has an identity. Tree has an identity. Because everything is for the pleasure of Krishna.
And they take a conscious endeavor to serve.
Yeah, they take a conscious endeavor to serve. In their own way, generally. Stone wants to serve Krishna by providing a seat. Even the caves want to serve Krishna, providing a confidential place for pastimes. It's mentioned. Even Govardhan is trying to serve Radha and Krishna in that way. Kandara Kandamulai. Kandara means the caves, sitting places, everything. All are. So that is the ecstasy. Through the stones, Krishna can sit. Krishna is walking through the grasses. So that is the perfection of their lives. So everything has a function. Is that clear? Yes, please. You can pass on the mic, please.
From the class that you gave, we understood all the Jayananda's glories.
Yeah.
But the part, how did he become that way? It was looks like he was born with all those qualities. He was a born Vaishnava and born, not necessarily following our ISKCON process or anything like that. Mm. Is that a correct conclusion?
Yeah, it looks like. He is a great personality, an associate of Srila Prabhupada. So he is manifesting his devotional qualities right from the beginning. But we cannot speculate who was he, where is he from, we don't know. But he is a great personality, that's what Srila Prabhupada mentioned. To celebrate his appearance and disappearance. And interestingly enough, devotees approached Srila Prabhupada and asked, why Jayananda is only getting your mercy? He is enthusiastic all the time. The Prabhupada said, I am giving my mercy to everyone, but he is taking the most. So, it is a qualification. Yeah.
And today we are celebrating the Disappearance Day, right?
It's a disappearance.
So, I don't think we celebrate the Appearance Day in time throughout the day, throughout the year.
I don't know, we had to check here. Yeah, probably not. Disappearance.
Yeah, today we always celebrate his disappearance.
Okay.
Seems like we don't celebrate his appearance day so much.
Okay, I'll just let me try to see Prabhupada's instruction exactly. There's a different ways we can celebrate. Offering a garland and flowers, that is a way of celebration. That's what we are doing now. Yeah, a special mention, the mention is about the disappearance. So Prabhupada instructed devotees all over the world to commemorate the event every year as they would any great Vaishnava's disappearance day. So specific mention is about his disappearance day. Okay. Thank you very much. Granthrashima Bhagavatam ki Jayananda Prabhu ki Srila Prabhupada ki.